And let's welcome back to the Tune In Podcast.
Here we are.
We are here.
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
We made it.
Been kind of a tough week for Jazz, yes, both physically, a little bit emotionally, maybe for some invested fans. But we're here again. We're going to talk about it. We'll help you find some of the silver linings. But we do have some sad news with Hendrix and some other things. But what? How has your week been outside of the Jazz?
Oh, man.
Or with the Jazz, I guess.
Well, you know, we're rolling with our Jazz, rain or shine. Winner, five losses, we're going to be with them. So, but it's been a good week. World Series ended. Dodgers took home the victory. I heard the...
Ohtani was balling out.
Yeah, I'm not a big baseball guy, but I heard the Yankees started 5-0 in that last game and blew it.
Yeah.
So, kind of crazy. But just a great time for sports. We talk about that every week, but it's like every week I'm just like, oh, man. There's just always something going on. It's kind of
I feel like every time we record an episode, we should record like our drive over because we literally talk about like some of the same stuff. But yeah, just talking about like the Timberwolves game last night, man.
Oh, so crazy. Whew.
Dude, Anthony Edwards is clutch. I'm glad he's on my fantasy team.
Yeah, it's fun to see some of these, like, I feel like we're like starting some new rivalries in the NBA of teams that are like at the top and like, are it's kind of heated, like.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Gobert's elbowing people in the face again. Let's go.
Fights. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But he got the game-winning stop, so.
It's true. He clutched out.
We'll give him credit for that, but.
Yeah, we'll get into some NBA stuff later in this episode with our panic meter for some different teams. But also, we've got breaking down the last three games this week, three losses. Don't panic too much. We'll break down the Hendrix injury, kind of what that means for the Jazz moving forward, our prediction totals, where we stand, and our player of the week, and that'll be this episode.
Yeah, don't forget to check us out, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. You can also find us on Instagram, on all those platforms, we're at Tuned In Jazz, where you can get updates and follow our latest episodes. And this is episode 49 of Tuned In Jazz. Alrighty. Well, caught up a little bit. We're tied.
We are
for
tied.
For our prediction tracker, if you haven't been with us for our last couple episodes, we're doing a new way of doing it this year. We're guessing the score differential, and then we get points based off of how off we are. So we don't want points, but we're both tied at 80 as of this week. So I'm glad I could catch up. Now I can start gaining a lead. So
that's my biggest off points was I thought we were going to beat the Spurs, man.
We'll
get into that. We went to that game.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Three losses. That's kind of a hard week.
Not great.
We're expecting a win this next week, but it is a road trip. But let's just kind of maybe combine some of the same ideas for all three of these games because they were pretty similar, I would feel like, in how they went. There are some silver linings we'll talk about, but let's just kind of start with what went wrong for the Jazz in these three games that they could focus on improving. If you're Coach Hardy, what do you feel like you need to focus on in the practice, or what things did you see from the Jazz that you feel like led to these losses?
Well, it's just tough, I feel like, because, you know, we knew coming into the season that we would have some of this, right? Like, we knew that the Jazz were going to be focusing on development this year, which is good. And that unfortunately means losing some games. But I wonder, with all these losses, if that's actually accomplishing that. We're also playing guys like Jordan Clarkson a lot, which I think we should, but also, I don't know, he demands the ball a lot. If we're really focusing on development, I would love to see Coach Hardy, I don't know, working through some different guys. I don't know. I feel like these are the type of games that just make me want to throw my hands up in there. Like, I don't even know what to think. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I'm trying to, like, I'm going to there's some like things just based off feel that I think need to improve just from me watching the games.
Absolutely.
And then I also like went into the stats and I could just tell you like the stats that they're not doing well at.
Yeah.
But just based off feel, it feels like our offense is not clicking.
No, really it's not.
Miscommunications or ball security problems, right? So I feel like that's a huge thing with the Jazz is trying to get on the same page, trying to have more ball security. And the stats also speak to that.
Yeah.
There's this stat that I just learned before the episode called turnover percentage. It's basically for how many possessions you have, what percentage of those possessions end in a turnover.
Yeah.
And I know it's only five games for the Jazz. 19% of their possessions end in a turnover in these five games. So you could say 1 in 5 is going to be a turnover. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Does that feel like what you've been watching, or does that feel kind of high?
I mean, yeah, a little bit. A couple of these games, maybe not every game, but a couple of these games, especially the last couple, just it seems like it was every possession. Like, oh, man. I guess the bright side of it, if we're trying to find the bright side, is like, we do get to see a lot of transition dunks by the other team, so maybe we'll see some highlight reel dunks as we're watching the Jazz this year. But
yeah, we did get to see a really cool Wemby
alley-oop. That was pretty sick.
And a couple other dunks.
Classic Chris Paul.
Wemby had a 5x5. How are you feeling about that? That was the only second 5x5 he's ever had. We were there in person.
Yeah, it was. It felt like it too. He's dominant. He's pretty dominant. I think I saw a stat. He's only the third player in NBA history to do that more than once. The other two are Hakeem and our very own Andre Kirilenko.
Oh, let's go AK.
Which is pretty dope, but Wemby's just great. Like,
he's going to get a lot more.
Yeah, when he was in the game, the Jazz could not do anything around the rim, and that's not like an understatement. Like, it was just like, you had guys like Drew Eubanks trying to like back him down, and it just didn't matter. He's just so
Colin Sexton, probably the highlight of the game, he had this like floater layup there was a picture that he posted on his Instagram where Wemby's hand is vertical and the ball just barely goes over Wemby, right? This super high layup. So Sexton, good game, man. He actually played pretty well for the most part. And then another thing I noticed as well, Jazz have the worst offensive rating in these five games. They only have 97.8 points per 100 possessions.
Man.
So dead last. Yeah. And then that also means their net rating, they on average lose every game by 17 points in five games. So that's hard, right? And I think, like we talked about, the turnovers are the first step.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't turn the ball over, you're not going to have as many transitions for the other team.
Yeah.
It's going to be easier to play defense. And then if you have less turnovers, of course, you're going to have more shots that you could maybe make, more opportunity for better offense. So I don't know. I feel like the turnovers for me is the number one thing.
Yeah.
And then maybe after that, just hitting our three-point shots when we have them.
Yeah. I think turnovers, too, are just kind of a symptom of having a young team. But it is like, if we could just rein it in a little bit, I think we could at least win a couple more games. Like, we don't necessarily have to. Our guys are learning, so that means that there's going to be turnovers. But if we could just bring it down a little, I think that would help us a lot.
Okay, now, what's some silver linings from these games? Any players that you saw stood out in Dallas or any of these three games or anything like that?
I really like Colin Sexton against the Mavs. He was 9 for 11 from the field, 23 points. Very efficient.
He kept us in the game. He almost won us the game at the end. It was close.
Yeah, he did. And Walker Kessler is like turning into a double-double monster this year so far. 12 and 11.
Player of the week last week.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been playing really well. The thing with Walker Kessler this year is I feel like he is just like playing really well. The stats like every game don't always show it, but he's always like altering shots. I think he's probably averaging a couple blocks a game. Just I haven't looked, but it seems like that would average out to that. But he's playing really well.
Yeah, I'll look up his stats real quick while you're talking. But also, I want to point out, I'm guessing you were going to talk about this in a little bit, but Kyle Filipowski's been the biggest surprise of the week.
Absolutely.
We didn't think he was going to play any minutes. He started while Lowry was injured for the Spurs on Thursday. He's been scoring and being pretty good on offense from the eye test. I think the biggest thing I'm excited about for him is, one, that he can space the floor.
Yeah.
And two, that he can be kind of like a playmaker, like when we had Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but I was really impressed with him. I thought that he wouldn't be playing this many minutes this early.
Yeah. I saw there was an Instagram post the other day. It was like Jazz fans' hot takes. And I saw one person, their hot take was that Kyle Filipowski would win Rookie of the Year, which I kind of, when I read it, I was like, what the heck? But interestingly enough, there hasn't been a single rookie in the NBA this year that's played more than 30 minutes in a game.
Interesting.
12 points in two different games this week for Kyle Filipowski. That's looking like less than a hot take. I still don't think he's going to win Rookie of the Year, but he's taken his opportunity. I respect it.
And just to get for Walker Kessler, he's actually averaging 2.6 blocks a game and 10 rebounds. So for those fantasy managers, he's the best fantasy guy for the Jazz right now because of that.
For real.
So
that's not bad. Yeah, Wemby's 5x5 game. Kessler had 3 blocks against the Spurs, which I thought was really nice. I thought he played well against Wemby, given the circumstances, I guess.
And,
it's just a tough ask, I guess.
I think since we're talking about the Mavericks game, let's talk about Taylor Hendricks.
Oh, yeah, we do need to talk about that.
First of all, prayers out to Taylor. This is so unfortunate for it to happen, especially when he looked so good.
Yeah, he did.
Before that injury. He deserves better than this, and I believe that he's going to come back strong, and I hope that mentally he's locked in and doing well right now. But yeah, definitely our prayers go out to him and his recovery. That was such a tragic injury.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's one of them that you're just watching. And that was such a freak accident. Like, he wasn't...
Yeah.
He was literally just running down the floor, and it just buckled under him, and it's super nasty injury. I really hope that he can come back from this. I know physically his bone will heal. That's, you know, how our bodies work.
Right.
But you look at guys like Gordon Hayward, he never really made it back to his all-star level. That could have been for other reasons, but also... Mentally, it's hard to come back from a leg break like that. Like, so your prayers out to him and his family. Prayers to the Jazz, because that's something that, like, is just a gut punch to your entire locker room. We saw Keontae was kind of tearing up, which I love to see that these guys care about each other like that. That's one silver lining, I guess, we could take from all of this, is that these guys really do care about each other. And prayers up to him and his family that he heals quickly.
Yeah, it looks like his injury was that he broke his right fibula.
Oh, I think that's the big bone between your knee and ankle, right?
Yeah, so I should have done this Google search earlier, but I'm going to look up how long is the recovery from a broken fibula.
Yeah.
But I think from what I heard, it's at least out this season. Who knows after that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you're the Jazz, you have no rush to bring him back, especially it's not like we're pushing for the play-in this year. So we can afford to let him fully recover, probably within our best interest and within his, obviously.
So we'll be pulling for him. And I think it also was nice for me. I know the rest of this Mavericks game after that injury, these guys played hard after, as hard as that was.
Yeah.
That's so demoralizing to lose one of your brothers and have to keep going. And I respect the team a lot for putting that effort forward for him just how difficult that was, I'm sure.
Interestingly enough, I found this out after the game. So a couple of other injuries like this that stand out to me, the Paul George one, we obviously just talked about the Gordon Hayward one. Somebody who was present at both of those and for this one is Kyrie Irving. I'm not saying he's bad luck, but... it seems like it. But he did say some nice things after the game towards Taylor, says he went and saw him. And so I respect a competitor who can put his jersey aside and come talk to the other. So I respect for him.
Okay, well, player of the week. Yes. You've got it this week.
All right. Well, you did kind of suspect right. My player of the week, Kyle Filipowski.
Let's go. I had a feeling. Yes. I had a feeling it would be him.
I think with how this team is set up right now, and if you're a young player on the Jazz or in the NBA in general, when you get your opportunity, you have to run with it. And I think this week, Kyle Filipowski mm-hmm. ran with his opportunity to play. He started in our game against the Spurs in place of Lowry. And he ran, and I hope he keeps running. I'm happy for him. He could be a good piece for us moving forward. So,
love the pick. I'll just double everything you said. He looks like he belongs.
Absolutely.
He's already playing way more minutes than he probably thought he would get. Yeah. So take that opportunity, run with it, Kyle.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's playing the power forward too.
Yeah.
Which he's kind of feel like more of a center at Duke.
Yeah.
But he can play the power forward pretty well. So
yeah, and he was shooting pretty efficiently too. I think he was 5 for 10 against the Kings, but he was, let's see, 5 for 8 against the Spurs, which isn't like he wasn't taking a lot of bad shots, and it's a really good performance. Yeah. So we'll take it.
Player of the week. All right. Well, Walker's yes, got one. Kyle's got one. We'll see who gets it next week.
Yes, sir.
But we have a big road trip coming up.
Yes, we do.
We've only had our one road game in Dallas, so this will be a test for the boys.
We're kind of going all over the place too. I guess it's kind of a little Midwesty a little bit, but
yeah. Well, we're starting off in Denver.
Yes.
We talked about their game last night, choking to Rudy Gobert, who was playing well, and Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
So they're not doing well, to be said. That game's tonight.
Yes.
Let's see. I don't know what you'd say the odds would be, but yeah, what is your line for that game?
Well, I hate to... I think it's going to be a loss. I think the Nuggets did play well last night, even though they lost. But it was to a good team. So I'm going to say we lose by 12, especially on the road.
Okay, that's a decent margin.
Yeah.
Stats say you're probably right.
Lost by 12, yeah.
Okay, I got lose by 9, kind of similar reasons.
Yeah.
It's a hard road game, altitude over there, but we're used to altitude, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
So next, we got Chicago on Monday. We're flying out to Chicago. What do you think? Can we take out the Bulls?
The Bulls have actually been playing pretty well to start the season.
Yeah, they have.
So for that, I'm gonna say lose by 13.
Ooh.
Okay. I don't know. I just hope that that's not the case. But just the way things are rolling, I actually love how Chicago's like playing fast and shooting threes. So I could see them like catching fire with Zach LaVine or Kobe White, and we'll lose by 13. So.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, well, I can't predict all three losses, so I'm going to say this one's going to be a win against Chicago.
All right, I love it.
They are pretty hot right now, but I do think matchup-wise, we match up a little better with Chicago.
Yeah, they're 3-3 right now in the standings.
Okay, so I'm going to say it's going to be a win by 2. It's going to be a really close win for the Jazz if we can get the win, so take that one.
Okay, and then the last game of the stretch till next week. On the road in Milwaukee against the Bucks.
Yeah.
Also a team that's struggling, we'll talk about later. Absolutely. What's the line for that?
I'm saying Jazz lose by 8. I think Bucks and Nuggets kind of in the same boat to me. I think they're going to figure it out at least a little bit. And unfortunately, I think the Jazz are going to be the team people figure it out against this year. So I'm going to say lose by 8.
Fair. I'm pretty similar. I got lose by 10.
Okay, fair enough.
So similar reasons.
So that Chicago game's really going to sway our score here next week. We'll see.
Also, looking at the standings, we're the only team without a win so far. At least every other team's got one win or more.
Even the Detroit Pistons.
Even the Trailblazers have 2 wins.
Yeah.
So.
Pretty bad.
We got to get one. Hopefully we get that win. Maybe the Bulls. Maybe the Bucks.
Yeah.
Hey, last season when we went into Milwaukee, we did beat the Bucks. So.
Yeah.
Could repeat.
Well, that's a really good segue into our next thing we want to talk about, which is our NBA panic meter. Here's where we're going to talk about. I'm going to give you a couple of teams. And let's just talk about, like, scale 1 to 10. How much should these teams be panicking based off of how their season has started? And then there's a couple at the end that are good the opposite end, so we'll talk about them as well. But the first one, we'll just start here at home, the Utah Jazz, 0-5, the only team in the NBA without a win. How much should the Jazz be panicking right now?
I'd say 3 out of 10.
Yeah.
Panic.
That's fair.
I'm not too worried. There's so much time for this team to develop.
Yeah.
And so I know that there's pressure, especially from us as the fans, for them to win games and just from like the city to put on a good show. But really, we don't need everything immediately. We're kind of investing in the future.
Yeah.
So I'd say the pressure's low, and so I wouldn't have that much reason to panic right now.
That's fair. I would say I'm a little bit more panicked about it. I would say more of like a 5 or 6, but still not like crazy panic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it is a little concerning how we're just, to me it seems like we're completely discombobulated. Like we just, of course we're going to lose games, but I would love to see us put up a fight a little bit more in a lot of these games. I also saw a rumor that it could just be a rumor, but I saw a rumor that Keontae George isn't very happy. Although maybe that's a good thing. We don't want our players to be happy about losing. So it's kind of,
yeah, I feel like he's probably not the only one.
Yeah. But like if the losses keep going, how long before it just destroys our locker room? So it's just kind of tough. I don't know. And we just really need Cooper Flag. So maybe we'll,
true,
that'll help my
capture the flag.
Yeah. Okay, my next team, since we just talked about them, the Bucks are 1-4 currently.
Yeah.
How much do you think the Bucks should be panicking?
8 out of 10. Really? I am panicking. I'm a partial Bucks fan when I lived in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't look good out there.
Nope, it doesn't.
Giannis himself is playing amazing still. He's getting big stat lines.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the team, it's kind of struggling.
Yeah.
I want to see more from like Gary Trent, Torian Prince, their bench, Pat Connaughton. Yeah. And then Damian Lillard's been pretty good, but I'd like to see him and Giannis actually play well together.
Yeah.
Because it feels like every time they've played well, it's been when one of the guys is injured or the other guy's on the bench. So I want to see them play better together. It's absolutely hard last season with that. So 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm right there probably at a 7 or 8 with you. I think I keep seeing these stats with Doc Rivers. They have a losing record when comparing it to Adrian Griffin, who they fired last year after being 30-13. And also, I just don't think that Dame and Giannis fit together. They're both great players, but I don't think this experiment has worked. Giannis is just getting louder and louder, I feel like, in his media stuff. So the Bucks got to figure something out,
mm-hmm,
or else they're not only going to lose, but they're going to lose Giannis, and that's not going to be good for them. So,
yep.
We'll stay on the East. This Philadelphia 76ers, 1-3. How much do you think they should panic?
I think I'd panic a little bit less for them because of the injuries.
Yeah.
But that being said, the team is not playing well.
No, not at all.
They're down there with the Jazz. They're the 27th best offense.
Yeah.
So they're not doing too hot. So maybe a 6, like a little bit less than the Bucks, but still reason to panic.
Yeah, I'd say a 5 myself. I think Embiid's going to come back eventually. He's been talking a lot in media lately, I feel like. Paul George is going to come back in a couple of weeks is what I'm hearing. He's getting pretty close. And Tyreek Maxey is playing really well.
Also a guy on my fantasy team.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, Tyrese.
Let's go. But the Sixers, their problem this season is just going to be getting it all together at the same time. And will that happen? Who knows? I guess we'll figure
it out. I do like their surrounding pieces, too. They got Gershon Yabusele, who looks like an NBA player.
Yeah. It's so good to see him get a shot in the NBA again.
He's in there. Cody Martin they got for kind of a cheap discount. I feel like he should have got paid more.
Kelly Oubre
is like a bucket on offense, right? So they got a lot of pieces that I think can help them stay afloat even when like one of the big three is injured. But I think they need at least two of the big three to be high in the standings because Tyrese can't do it all by himself.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Okay, let's go back to the West Coast. The Denver Nuggets, they're 2-3 currently. Do you think that they should be panicking right now?
Yes, I would say break the meter.
Ooh, interesting.
It's going to 11.
Interesting, okay.
The Nuggets do not look good right now, aside from Jokic. Jokic looks great.
Yeah.
Murray like got a concussion last night. He's been missing all his shots. Porter doesn't look like he's hitting his shots either. Nothing's working.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is, because really all the big change that happened since last year is just losing KCP.
Adding Westbrook, yeah.
Adding Westbrook. And people are clowning on Westbrook, but he hasn't done that bad. You don't expect a ton from Westbrook.
No.
At this point in his career. And I also think the Nuggets need to find a way to better utilize Westbrook when Jokic is on the bench.
Yeah.
Trying to incorporate him in a better way in the offense. Because when he does his thing, he kind of demands the ball and is kind of like the playmaker.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard when him and Jokic are on the floor at the same time. But yeah, I they're not making their threes. They're not doing well in offense. And for that, they're not winning very many games. So I am very panicked. 11 out of 10.
Yeah. I'm not as panicked. I'd say like maybe a 6. That's still a little panicked, but I think the weird thing with Westbrook, I don't really know, because like his last three teams have all said that they want to use him better. Nobody's been able to figure out.
Yeah, they haven't done it.
I don't know if it's just like something with him, or if it's, I don't know what it is, but I would like to see that work out more. I don't foresee it happening better anytime soon. And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Jamal Murray is not playing well. I don't think he's.
Mm-mm.
It just seems like he's a little off. And so I think that they have some reason to panic. They need to pull it together. So, well, that takes me to our last panic team, which is the Detroit Pistons, 1-5, just barely better than the Jazz.
Shoot.
Do you think that the Pistons should be panicky?
I think the Pistons should panic a little bit more than the Jazz, just because they have all their young talent now after tanking for seven years now, it feels like.
Yeah.
How many years have they been at the bottom of the standings? It's been a while.
Yeah.
And they added Malik Beasley, Tobias Harris, and some other guys to kind of encourage some winning in that team. They got Fontecchio, who's been really good.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I expect a little bit more from them than the Jazz. Maybe like 5 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm a little more. If I was Pistons fan, I'd be pretty panicked. I'd that's my break the meter one. I think.
Oh shoot, you're breaking the meter on the Pistons.
Yeah, I just don't. I agree with you. I think like how long, like if the Jazz are still 0-5 in 3 or 4 seasons, then I'll be. We should be panicked, right? We should fire everybody in the front office, sell the team. I'm just kidding. Not sell the team, but. The Pistons are just, they're not moving in the right direction. It doesn't matter how many pieces they add that are supposed to help. Like, just get the ball to Jaden Ivey because he's on my fantasy team now. So, anyways, but.
They have just as many turnovers as the Jazz. 18% of their possessions.
That's so bad.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I think you're waiting for that leap to come as a Pistons fan. It just hasn't happened.
Yeah.
But realistically, I don't expect them to be a competitive playoff team. I just want to see him make the play-in, be the 10th seed.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like they're even gearing up towards that. So we'll see, but it's just the first 5 or 6 games. So
yeah,
hopefully they turn around a little bit.
Yeah. The last two, I'll just lump them together. These two teams are doing really well to start the season. So I guess this is like a, do they celebrate meter? The Lakers at 4-2 started pretty hot, and the Cleveland Cavaliers have started at 6-0. Do you think it's too early to celebrate for these teams, theoretically? I mean,
well, let's start with the Lakers, because I've actually watched a couple Lakers games.
Yeah, me too.
I think they're legit.
You think so?
I think JJ Redick has made this team. I don't know really how to describe it. But Anthony Davis just looks better.
He looks really nice this year.
He's getting the ball in his hands more, I think. That helps.
I saw his MVP odds were the highest the other day or something.
Yeah.
But it's like way early.
I think if the season ended today, he might win MVP.
Absolutely.
So far. They look great. And yeah. LeBron seems like he doesn't have as much on his shoulders. He can kind of coast towards the playoffs. And
yeah,
I don't know. They got Bronny on the bench. He'll be cheering him on. I don't know. I think they're legit. I think like maybe 8 out of 10 that they could celebrate. But
they're legit, yeah.
I could see them being a top four seed in the West, maybe better than Nuggets.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I guess staying on the Lakers, I'd probably put them just a little lower, like maybe at a 6. I do think that they have improved. JJ Redick seems to, his schemes are a little better. I love that he like takes responsibility in press conferences. It's never like a blame game like we heard before. And they're all playing really well. I like Dalton Connect. I think he actually fits their roster so nice.
He's been playing well.
I kind of have trust issues with the Lakers, which is why I have them at six. I feel like this is like a yearly thing where we're like, are the Lakers back? And then they're not back. And so I'll believe it when I see it 40 games later if they're still on this pace. So what about the Cavs at 6-0?
Can't say I've watched the Cavs this season.
I haven't either.
But their stats look great.
Yeah.
They're like one of the best. Like they're right there with the Celtics in offense. Mm-hmm. And their defense is top 5 too.
Yep.
So like you can't really expect much more from them in this start.
Yeah, they beat the Lakers by 24 the other night. It's crazy.
Dang, that is crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I if I had watched more games, I could give like a more solid opinion, but yeah. I'll just say like 5 out of 10. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like Jazz went off to some great starts in the past couple years and that didn't last. Yeah. So I feel like the Cavs, yeah, they're a good team, but I don't know if they're like one of the championship contenders. Like it looks like they might be right now. I think they'll cool down a little bit.
Yeah. I also think there's some Eastern Conference teams that have started a little slow. Like the Knicks are 3-2. I think the Knicks are better than that. They're going to figure it out. They're just going to be a new group of guys.
Maybe the Sixers if they get healthy.
Yeah, Sixers. I think the Magic will be pretty good, although Paolo just got injured for a couple of weeks.
That's a big blow to them. That's their whole team right there.
Yeah. So I do think they're good. I'm going to give them a 5 as well. But I think it's a little too early to crown them as the team in the East. But
right on. Well, let us know what your panic meter is for the Jazz. Hopefully, it's not too high.
Yeah.
We got time.
Absolutely. We're only 5 games.
Just kind of for fun with NBA, how's your fantasy team doing? Are they getting wins?
Oh, man. It's been a rough week, actually. My team's doing okay. I think I'm learning. Fantasy is a little more number oriented than like actual basketball. Like,
right.
Originally I was like trying to put together like a cohesive team, but now I'm like, okay, I need to like focus on categories because that's how our league's set up. So, I picked up Trey Mann. He's been balling points wise this week. I think I'm losing still this week. I probably will lose. Shout out to John.
Wait, Trey or Terrence?
Trey Mann. Of the Hornets. Been balling out. How's yours doing?
They're good. They're losing right now because the guy I'm playing has Jalen Brunson, who's been on a tear.
Hooping. Yeah.
But no, they're good. I got Edwards, who's had in like 6 games more points than any Timberwolf player.
Yeah, he's hooping.
So like, he's great. And then Giannis is Giannis, and Tyrese Maxey and De'Aaron Fox are both playing well.
Yeah.
So I'm getting the points. I just need to get more like steals and less turnovers.
Yeah,
because all my guys have the ball in their hand a lot, so they just turn it over like it's nothing, right? So I'm never really winning the turnover battle. But
oh man,
and then assists, I'm kind of struggling with assists because my guys don't like to pass.
No, that helps with points, but not that.
Right.
Yeah, I'm kind of stuck with a bunch of guys where I really believe in them, and I feel like that it's going to be within my best interest to keep them, but they're not helping me right now.
But you
like,
traded away Chet Holmgren.
I did. I shouldn't have.
What was the package?
It was Dame Lillard and Jaden Ivey, but Jaden Ivey's been averaging. Jaden Ivey's averaging like 23-5 right now, which is pretty good. But Dame didn't necessarily help the look of that trade the other day.
I don't know. I think you might have got robbed, but I guess time will tell.
I think I did too.
You need more points?
I do. I desperately needed more points. I was doing okay on defense because I have Drew Holiday. Jaren Jackson Jr. is probably even a better shot blocker than Chet, slightly.
He's top 5, probably.
Yeah. So I don't know. I might regret it. I feel like I needed some sway power in trades. If I just shut down every trade, I might not be able to trade later. So maybe it'll help me down the road. I hope.
Interesting. Well, we'll see if you got fleeced or not.
Yeah. Another piece of NBA news. We didn't plan on talking about this, but did you see the Dwayne Wade?
Statue.
Or whoever that was supposed to be.
I actually watched this morning Shaqt and a Fool, and that was the number one.
That was number one? That's pretty funny.
They photoshopped the face at a bunch of different moments because it looks nothing like him. No. Yeah.
Dwayne Wade is so nice about it, too. That's our glorious owner, one of our owners of the Jazz.
It's true.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I don't feel like Dwayne Wade's like that distinctive a person to try and like... I honestly do feel like that pose that they picked though is probably kind of dirty for the to put on the artist to like, hey, make him look at this angry face. Like, I don't know. It's kind of.
But also, tough. I feel like if they made the art, they took months to do it. Probably, yeah. I don't know how long that normally takes.
Yeah,
they should have like got some reviews, you know, like asked some NBA fans, you know, before revealing it, because it did not look like him. Yeah. And I think they should have waited.
I don't know if you saw this clip, but there was a college football team, and one of them, they put up on their Jumbotron the picture of his statue as a distraction for the field goal. It was pretty funny. It didn't work.
It's a meme.
It's kind of fun, yeah.
Yeah. It's okay, Dwayne. Yes. We'll still love you since you owner the Jazz.
When you bring us a championship, maybe we'll put a picture of you somewhere.
Yeah,
give
Keontae some tips and tricks, yeah. You know.
Absolutely.
Well, Utah Hockey Club got a win.
Yes. Was it
5-1? No wins for the Jazz, but win for Utah Hockey Club, so we can celebrate that. They played, was it Calgary Flames?
I believe so.
I think they got a win there. I
believe so.
Good game for them. And then they got an overtime loss to the Sharks. That was sad. The Sharks are literally the worst team.
Oh, man.
And we were up like 4-1 or 4-2 or something.
Oh, geez.
They came back and we lost in overtime to them.
Oh.
So that was kind of a heartbreaker. But at least we got a win.
I guess a bright side there, the guy we talked about last week, Maverick Lamoureux.
Rookie?
Yeah, his first NHL game, he scored his first NHL goal.
Let's go.
Which is pretty awesome.
Was that against which game?
I think that was in the game with the Flames.
Right on.
So that's pretty cool. I'm sure that was like a dream moment for him, something he's dreamed of his life. So happy for him.
Yeah. I mean, these guys get on the ice like when they're kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their whole life. This is what they're about.
Yeah. We both went to BYU's highly contested basketball game against the Colorado Christian. They're the Cougars as well, right? I believe. I want to say
maybe. I couldn't tell you.
What was your impressions of the team? I know it was kind of a cupcake.
I guess
game,
just I hadn't seen a lot of these guys in person.
Yeah,
just getting a gauge like what kind of players they are and archetype. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize Cannon Catchings. Yeah. I didn't realize he was so tall.
Yeah.
Like him 6'9". And Igor are both like at least 6'7", maybe more.
Yeah.
And I think they could be a dynamic duo.
Oh, absolutely.
I very surprised. He was really good too. And then I really liked Kiba Kita.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's on our team. He's a lob threat. That's going to be exciting to watch.
Yeah, BYU is going to run some big lineups this year. Like having Yegor was started at the point guard. I don't know if that's going to continue.
I hope so.
Because Dallin Hall was out, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if that continues. Yegor at the point guard, but that's 2'6"9 guys. I believe Kibakaita is 6'9" as well. Trevin Nell is probably our shortest player on the floor at 6'5", 6'6".
Trey Stewart, if he gets any minutes.
Yeah. So kind of really exciting. Yegor didn't even take that many shots, but his passing was just...
Right.
He's finding everybody on the floor, which is
And it seems like the offense is clicking.
Yeah.
But I mean, also, it was Colorado Christian, so they... In a lot of ways, the offense, if it didn't click, that would be a panic beater, right?
Yeah. And so. I don't know if this is just because it's Colorado Christian, but it really did feel like an NBA offense, which makes sense. It's Kevin Young. But like, it didn't feel
we'll
like
we'll see how it is against
college.
Utah. That'll be the big test, right? We got to beat them.
I think so, yeah. And then just another, I guess, recruiting update. AJ Devonsa, the number one projected pick for next year's draft, or the next year, 2026, I guess.
Yep.
He's had BYU among his top five, but now 24/7 Sports, which is kind of one of the leading recruiting websites, has him crystal balled 100% to Brigham Young University.
Let's go.
Which is huge. And I think with that will come probably JJ Mandiquit. I bet he follows him if he comes here. So, I don't know. BYU's turning into quite the NBA factory over here. So, it's getting kind of crazy.
Yeah, he came to the football game. Everyone was chanting his name. So hopefully,
yeah,
that
was so sick.
Hopefully that helps.
He ran out of the with the football team when they started running out. It was pretty sick.
Yeah, definitely.
It's pretty dope. So, well, thank you so much for joining us on our episode today. We're grateful that you listen, and for all of you who share. And we always have people tell us that they heard a couple episodes or whatever, and any support we get is much appreciated. Don't forget to check out our past episodes. And right before the season, we gave a lot of predictions for the season, including awards and jazz superlatives. So go ahead and check those out. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. Again, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. And we appreciate you, and take care.
Peace.